When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Craig Mitch, Joe Pizzapia, Fantasy Sports Today, SportsGrid.com. Today is one of those days where normally Joe and I don't agree on a lot, but this is where we are the most different as hosts of this show, as Joe today is getting ready to shovel snow for the next 3 hours outside in New Jersey, and Craig is here in South Florida, where it is actually going to be about 40 tonight, which is a super cold day for me. But as I look out of my window here, out of my studio, it is 71 degrees and sunny here. And a little windy, by the way. I mean, a little touch of wind here in South Florida. But our biggest difference is that. I think we start there.
I kind of want to end there if I can. Luckily, I've got good neighbors who've got better snowblowers than I have. So I'm going to get on that thing and we're going to ride. That's right. We're going to ride to glory and somehow I'm going to find a way. And people who live in Jersey, that you guys understand this, you know, if you live in probably Minnesota or any other place, you'll understand all this stuff. There's nothing worse than when you get to the end of the driveway and they've plowed you in. Oh, I don't know, about waist high of a sheet of ice. And they just come through this place. I have gone through 3 mailboxes, right? Because they come through there and I don't know. It's like, I don't know what they're listening to or what's happening, but they come through there so fast and the snow flies and the ice flies. Next thing you know, that mailbox is in half. And it's a disaster. But I'm going to have to go out there. I'm going to have to bear the winter and not happy about it, Craig. I am not in a good mood about it, but alas, it's what I'm going to have to do. This is the price of living in the seasons. I love the seasons, Craig. The seasons are, I like the changes. It's all about the changes in the seasons, which I do like, but
definitely
I hate this.
Missed that. The worst. Yeah, definitely missed that. I lived in the Northeast in New York when I was very young, and I've traveled and been in that weather, but don't experience it anymore being here in South Florida. And we are on the borderline, Joe, of iguanas falling out of trees, by the way, tonight. So it's close. We're getting there.
That might be the silver lining in my day. That news is the silver lining in what's going to be a very cold, cold day. And it's been snowing nonstop here for 24 hours now. And I know like people from, you know, Minnesota, Chicago are like laughing and be like, what are you calling? That's just Tuesday. Well, here it's not. It's a big deal right now. And we're going to have to go out there and figure this out. But that's all right. I made the meatballs this morning. I put up a big pot of sauce. We're good. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be beautiful. Don't worry about it. There'll be food always. You hang out there. You watch some movies. Royal Rumble was last night. I know we're not going to talk about it on the show, but a lot of big things happen. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a lot of snow and a lot of wet clothes hanging from things. Yeah, good times. Enjoy the set.
Did Goldberg win or lose?
Did Goldberg, Goldberg win or lose? Lost. Of course he lost. His entrance was almost as long as the match itself, which is what you get from a Goldberg match typically. I always like to time them both out. And we have a running bit on my podcast. What's longer, the Goldberg entrance or the Goldberg match? In this case, it was actually the match by a hair. Just a little bit. Not by much. But depends on how long you want to take the entrance for, because they ran a promo. So we can argue about that later. Yeah. But Edge,
you can't move Edge anymore. Is that what the Belair. He can't move anymore, Goldberg.
Well, look, he's in phenomenal shape, but Goldberg was not a great wrestler when he was young. He was a phenomenal looking guy, but he wasn't a great worker in the ring. That was always the MO. And some of the guys here on the network will tell you that. some of our friends on game day, it was all about the look and the aura of Goldberg. It wasn't so much the worker of Goldberg. So, you know, some people still like the old guy pop when you go, hey, look at that. Remember when, but not me. I want to see the new stars get more time personally, but that's me.
All right, here we go with our headlines for the second hour here of our show. Didi Gregorius signs a 2-year contract to go back to Philadelphia. He'll join JT Realmuto and his buddies, and JT's press conference actually going on right now. Cleveland signs former Minnesota Twins outfielder Eddie Rosario, who was basically non-tendered by the Twins, so he immediately becomes an option for their outfield, which is a little light. Kellen Mond wins the Super Bowl MVP from Texas A&M, and he will not be good in the pros. L.A. Lakers tonight at the Atlanta Hawks. Portland at Milwaukee. That headlines tonight's NBA slate. Duke -9.5 at Miami tonight in the ACC. And so we can real quick hit on the baseball signings here. Mm-hmm. The Phillies still have a lot of work to do. They're definitely not as good as the first or second team in that division. But with Dombrowski back in the fold, they got Realmuto. They got Didi Gregorius back. They've added some bullpen pieces. I think that they're better. Cleveland, offensively, they're probably going to get 70% of Lindor with Eddie Rosario. The only question is if they're not in it in July, are they going to just move him somewhere else, which has to be a possibility.
It is, but I think it's a great signing regardless. They needed help in the outfield. Eddie Rosario is a middle-of-the-order bat. He's not the run creator that Francisco Lindor is, because Francisco Lindor, it's a lot of doubles and steals bases. So it's going to be a different kind of offense. So you might see, you know, a 10 spot from the Indians one night and then like a 2 spot 2 days in a row. I think it's going to be a little bit more up and down, whereas they'd always been very consistent offensively for the most part. But look, you got Framil, you got Rosario, you got Ramirez. They're going to compete. I keep telling everybody, don't sleep on the Indians. They got all this pitching. They got a great manager. They're going to compete. Didi, you know, I kind of threw out Oakland as a landing spot for him. I thought that made a lot of sense. He would have come cheap. I'm surprised by this move back to the Phillies. I assume now Segura goes to third. So the only thing I can think of now is the loser in all this is Scott Kingery. Does that make sense?
I think it's Kingery needs to go somewhere else, man. I think he's good. It just hasn't worked out for him in Philadelphia. No. But yeah, I suppose it could. The loser could be Segura. It's possible he's the guy out. I don't know. I don't know what direction they go there. Kingery was too good in the minor leagues to be this bad. I don't get it. But hopefully he gets another opportunity this year. Okay, coming up next, the fantasy baseball season has a possible delay to it, but that doesn't mean that we can't find some under-the-radar possibilities for 2021. So Joe and I will have that coming up next. Make sure you stay on the grid. Joe and I will be right back after this quick timeout. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. As the hot stove continues, we are kind of coming to the end of some of the bigger name free agents signing. Trevor Bauer, of course, is still the one name that is out there. And as spring training gets ready to start, who knows where he'll end up? I don't think any of the answer right now, including Bauer. But a couple of things, as we know, is a couple of players did get signed and maybe some under the radar potentially picks in fantasy for 2021. One player potentially could be on the Kansas City Royals, as the Royals over the last few years have kind of gone the other way as far as competing, haven't spent a lot of money. They did sign Carlos Santana in the offseason, and getting back a healthy Salvador Perez and Whit Merrifield and Jorge Soler and some of that offense, maybe the Royals could be sneaky in that American League Central. And Perez talked about just how big it was for them to bring in Santana from Cleveland?
You know, I was happy when I know we got him. He's a great teammate too, you know, and I got the opportunity to talk to him, I think one or two All-Star games, something like that. And, you know, great guy to have a guy like that in the team. It's going to help a lot, you know. And I think he gets on a lot of walk. He's going to be on base, you know, great first base. So I think we're going to be fine. But that was a great, great thing to pick him, to have him in the team.
You know, maybe this is the first sign of the Royals starting to come back to competitiveness again. I know it's been a while, 3 or 4 years, since it really just hasn't been close. But when you look at Santana, the one thing that you know that you're getting, especially if you're in a fantasy league where you're playing with on-base percentage, is exactly that. Even with him batting 199, Joe, take a look at this. His on-base percentage was 349 last year with Cleveland, and that was a four-year low for him, 397 the year before that with the Indians. He has spent 1 year in Philadelphia. They signed him to a 2-year deal and then jettisoned him out to, I believe, Seattle, if I'm not mistaken, right after that. Then he went back to Cleveland. And then in 2017 with the Indians, formerly known as the Indians, I guess, 363 on base percentage. But he's got a 2-year deal with Kansas City, Joe, and it feels like this is the first step toward being competitive for them again. I would not anticipate him going back to being what he was in 2015. But if you're expecting an on-base percentage of 35%, I think you're pretty much going to get that for him this year.
I've had all the shares over the years of Carlos Santana. And I always liked Santana because he was always a good OBP guy. So if you're playing in OBP leagues of 5x5 instead of batting average, you always could count on him. You always had to discount him just a little bit because of the batting average in the regular old 5x5s. But I also play in a lot of points leagues. And OBP is a very important stat. Now, it's not a category you're trying to win. But with OBP, you get a player who is on base a lot. And what happens to a player on base a lot? He has potential to score runs. That's a good thing. It also means he's on base because he's probably getting hits. That's also a good thing. You want to fill the points. You want to fill the box score. And Santana's a guy that does that. If you look at his 162 average for his career, he's looking as a player who's going to hit 25 home runs, score 85 runs, drive in 85 runs. That's always been his profile, and it's been very consistent for the most part. There's been some high water marks, some lows. A couple years ago, he had his best power season, which we had warned very strongly against. Look, this is a 34-year-old player now. I understand he's coming off the highest power outage of his entire career. Got to be a little careful of that kind of stuff when power numbers spike like that. Don't pay for the previous season. Pay for the average. Still think of him as a 25 home run player. Now, look, the batting average dropped off precipitously last year, but it's only 60-game season. So who's to say there wasn't a hot streak in there for a month or two that it would have corrected itself? He would have hit 240, and he would have been regular old Carl Santana. Now, he is going to be 35. That's definitely something to consider. But I also think that you're right. There's, I think, a little bit more respectability building in the Royals. Whit Merrifield's on a very team-friendly deal. Jorge Soler is just one season removed from being a 50 home run guy. I mean, there are some pieces here. Hunter Dozier, I think, is a very underrated piece in that lineup. Sal Perez, a very steady presence. And they made some pitching signings, right? You know, they bring in the Mike Miners. Look, they're doing what they're trying their best to do with the budget they have available to them. But at least they're trying, which is more than some other teams have done. And they were aggressive early in this offseason. They went out there ahead of things, found the discounts, took them, and they said, okay, we're happy with this, and we're going to go to compete. You got to see some guys step up in the rotation. We'll see what Brady Singer is this year. We'll see what that rotation and that depth and that organization brings in the next years ahead. But you're right. It does kind of feel like the Royals are starting to turn that page to being a more respectable team yet again, instead of just in this rebuild after rebuild that they were since, what, 2016?
Now, Joe, there's a lot of players out there to choose from who are kind of coming off down seasons. And look, the Philadelphia Phillies had a down year in general. You probably could look at 6 or 7 players there, not with their bullpen notwithstanding. It was just such a disaster, their bullpen last year. But, Joe, they also have a key player that they need a rebound from this year. If you would have told me 2 years ago that Rhys Hoskins would be an under-the-radar player, I would have said, no way, this guy's an all-star, potential superstar. But what's going on with him over the last year or so?
Well, I think what's happened is some people have got disenfranchised because he hasn't been the superstar level yet. The good news is that if you're playing in Roto 5x5, you go, look at these numbers from 18 and 19, 34 home runs, 25 home runs, right? The RBI totals, run totals well above the high 80s into the 90s even. He's a really good player in a good hitting environment. He's got Bryce Harper around him and now Alec Baum, and we see Didi coming back. There's a lot of line of protection, JT Realmuto, right? The bad is what happens with the batting average. And when you see the bad in the batting average, you see a guy hitting only 246. Well, that could be a problem in those 5x5 formats. And then it drops off in 2019 to 226. So that, I think, is what's happened. People have gotten hyper-focused on the batting average. But look, that's more of a symptom of baseball as a whole now. This is kind of where we're at. This is the new baseball, where guys are going to have more swing and miss. Guys are going to try to hit home runs. At least Rhys Hoskins is hitting them. And he hasn't reached the level yet of Bryce Harper superstar, but that's okay too. It doesn't mean he can't be a useful piece. And I feel like what happens sometimes with these guys is they go on to the next one, right? So everybody was so excited about Rhys Hoskins. He hasn't quite lived up to the potential some people had. And now everybody's on to Alec Baum. And I think Alec Baum has a lot of talent. He's a very exciting young player. But let's not forget about Rhys Hoskins. So everybody's going to go want Bryce Harper because he's elite level superstar. Everybody's going to want the trendy new toy in Alec Baum. But there's a guy in the middle in Rhys Hoskins who could be somewhere in that range of stats, at least in 5x5 categories. Maybe he doesn't give you the great batting average, but can he give you 85 runs, 30 bombs, 85, 90 RBI? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, and look, if you just basically go off the fact that even he couldn't play at the end of last season, was really banged up, I think that there's a rebound in store for him. The other story, Joe, that we touched on early in the program, and we could touch on it here again now, is that the owners, or basically Major League Baseball, requested a 154-game season and an expanded playoff and a designated hitter of a season that would be delayed a month. Now, there certainly are a lot of trade-offs, Joe, here that are worth fighting for if you're the players or the owners. But the one thing to me that rings true, aside from anything else, and I'm the last person that wants a delay for the baseball season, but I do understand the owners wanting fans. They want to make more money, make no mistake about it, Joe, having fans there. Mm. But in this particular case, if I'm the players and I have guaranteed assurances that I'm getting paid and there's no issues with that, I understand some of them have said pitchers have already reported and they're getting ramped up and then they're going to have to slow down. And I totally get that. There's part of that too. But for me, fans is a good thing. And if a month can help that situation and have more fans in, because I certainly feel like April and May, we're going to be in a better spot than we are in February and March. I'm okay with that. I think that's something that I normally like to look at both sides here, but I'm on the side of more fans. And whatever brings in more fans, I'm good with. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they can see eye to eye even on that.
I'm also on the side, as you well know, of more playoffs, less regular season. And that's also part of the structure of this deal. And I think that that's good for baseball. And the reason is the same conversation we just had earlier, Craig, which is, why are only a third of the teams in it? Well, if you have more playoff teams every year, more teams would believe they have a chance. More teams would be buyers instead of sellers at the market and looking to be competitive. Hey, we're only a couple games out from this second wild card, this third wild card, whatever it might be. I think that is symptomatic of baseball's problems too. You know, very long regular season, comparatively short postseason. Let's change that balance a little bit. And I think that would be good for the game, but I'm with you. Let's start later if indeed it means the fans can come back and indeed it means more playoffs, less regular season. I'm for that too.
What's interesting is, Joe, the players think that less money will be spent in salaries because it'll be easier to make the postseason and the owners won't have to spend the same amount of money. It just shows you how much fight there is with this. All right, coming up next, our first look at some of the Super Bowl props.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. All week long, we're going to be reviewing some of the Super Bowl props over on the FanDuel Sportsbook as we get closer and closer to Super Bowl Sunday. I think we're probably going to cover them all by the time we get there. I know that there are thousands out there, but FanDuel's done a great job of putting several out there. And so Here is my trusty advice on the Super Bowl props. If you've never heard me say this before, I'll say it one more time, once a year. I think I did it last week, but I'll say it again here. With Super Bowl props, you got to be very disciplined. There are going to be props, and FanDuel won't like to hear me say this, that you're going to win. You're going to be able to win some Super Bowl props. But the problem is that people do not have discipline come Super Sunday. And a lot of those max bets on props maybe are only 20 or 50 bucks. Maybe some of them are 100. And they're going to put some out there that are really winnable or give you a really good chance to win. But then what happens is, Joe, you see a few that you like, and then a few becomes more, and then more become a lot, and then you're looking at your live action on Sunday, and you've bet 37 Super Bowl props, you know? And then you're not going to win. And then you're not going to win, because you may win more than you lose, but the juice is just going to knock you back down to even. So my rule of thumb is like 5 to 10 props. That's it. Pick your favorites. If you want to have a little fun and try and pick who's going to score first or just some, you know, range of scoring at a 5-1 or 6-1. Of course, it's fun. It's supposed to be fun. I mean, your risk, a lot of people's risk on these props is only $20, $50 anyway. But beware of betting too many, because I always use the Pringles example, because once you eat one Pringle, you've eaten the whole, your hand is stuck in the canister. So my advice is come up with a decent number, bet those, and then stop. And that's it. Don't get sucked into more. 10 is usually, I think, the number for me.
10's a lot. Okay. Can I ask you an early fantasy reality question? Fantasy reality, Craig Mish has gotten, even for like, I don't know, like a second, his arm stuck in the Pringles can or his hand stuck in there. Fantasy reality.
I don't think so. No, fantasy. I definitely have really enjoyed Pringles, unfortunately. A few months ago, I looked and it just had too much salt and I gave them up, man. It's one of those nice pleasures that I had that I just had to say so long to. And it's not even that I gave them up. It's that I buy them and then they're in the house and then they're gone. I don't know what happened. And then my wife just throws them out.
And you don't get any of them. Oh, she throws them out or someone else eats them? She just throws them out.
No, she throws them out. No. You brought this into the house? Gone.
Wow. This is tough, man. No Pringles, no snacks.
No Pringles.
You come to Pizza Pia House, we got some snacks. We don't go crazy. You know, we had to do like salad lunches and things like, even during school, like everyone's home for school. They've got the salad with the chicken and things like that. We do, you know, some good stuff here. But you got to have some snacks now and again, right? I mean, what do you do for Super Bowl? What do you have? Like, everyone's got celery and stuff? Is that it? Like no wings, just the celery. And you dip the celery. You got to have some stuff.
I mean, listen, we'll get pizza once or twice a week. It's just, I think that basically I was eating too many Pringles. I had to stop.
Well, I heard it's very hard to stop. That's the rumor.
It is. That's the rumor. Very, very hard to stop.
Once you pop.
I can definitely take down half a can. But anyway, all right. So Brett Levy, our producer, he's very worried that all the players are going to be out with COVID. It's a very fair concern. So starting tomorrow, we'll do player props here on the show. We'll run through them all. And by Friday, we'll have our favorite 10 props going into Sunday. And I know that I have to have my favorite 10 anyway for a live stream I'm doing later this week. So I will make sure that I have that. But for all of you, here are just some surface ones that we can begin with. And this is the first scoring play of the Super Bowl. So on FanDuel, a Chiefs touchdown, if you bet that, is plus 160. A Buccaneers touchdown to score first is plus 200. A lot of this is who gets the ball first, probably. Chiefs field goal plus 400 with Harrison. Buccaneers field goal is plus 420. A safety is this 100-1? Is that what this says? 100-1? And Buccaneers safety is the same there. Unlikely to happen, but there was a safety. I think there's been a few safeties in Super Bowls. We're going to get to that here in just a second. 9, I think, is the number, if I'm not mistaken. So first scoring play, Joe, of the game. First prop discussed on Super Bowl week. Is it as easy as just saying whoever flips the coin first gets the first score? Or defers?
In this game, it feels that way because you're talking about two quarterbacks whose execution levels are off the charts. And I think that's what, when we're talking about this problem, normally this is incredibly arbitrary. But I think at the very least, you can discuss the option of going with the higher odds with the field goal as opposed to the touchdown. But for me, Craig, both of these guys are going to have real good game plans. They're going to know exactly what they're going to want to do and how they're going to want to attack early on in that first drive. Now, it's something that I feel really good about Mahomes doing, and I feel pretty good about Tom Brady doing. So that being said, I would lean more towards the touchdown on either one of these teams than the field goal, even though the field goal is a little bit more of the juice, right? A little bit better of, hey, well, I'll put $10 on there. Well, it's plus 400 or 420. And it's because I also have, although the defense of Tampa has played very well, it's Patrick Mahomes, right? It's Patrick Mahomes coming out of the gate fresh with the set of plays that he wants to run first that you're going to have to react to. As the game goes on, you have better reactions. And they showed that in the second half of when these two teams met a few weeks ago, right? You saw the adjustments in the Tampa defense, and Todd Bowles did a tremendous job in that game of getting that defense to tighten up and give Mahomes some problems there. And they got pressure on Mahomes. Now, I assume that they're going to be very aware, like I said, of what happened last time in those failures. So coming out of the gate, I think touchdown over field goal is at least how I would lean. But do you have any thoughts on this too? Are you somebody that just goes, no, you know what, a little bit of nerves, maybe things don't exactly execute well, it ends up being a field goal or something like that instead if it is an opening scoring drive?
Yeah, this is probably not one that I would bet, but I would take a shot on a deeper one, 4-1 with a field goal. I would. I think that when I look at it, I think if the Chiefs get the coin toss, they're going to want the ball. I think if the Bucks get the coin toss, they're also going to want the ball. So there's no like strategy here in thinking that one team defers, because that's what you have to really do here. Because if you knew that there was a coach that's going to defer no matter when he gets the ball, then automatically you go to the other team. But both of these teams have great offenses. They want the ball. They want their offense on the field. I would go with the highest shot here on the Bucks plus 420 on a field goal, because I think it's a guess. So I would take the best odds of the four, of the one, two, three, of the four. Yeah, that's what I would do.
That makes sense. Yeah, look, you can make arguments on either side. I think that's what we're doing.
Of course.
You know, Craig and I are laying out the arguments, and that's what we always say. That's what you do, right? When you go through your wagers, you lay out the different circumstances and the different possibilities, and then you choose which one feels like more likely based upon your knowledge. And I think that's – we've given you both, I think, the touchdown side of it. Craig's given you the field goal side of it, and now you can go ahead and make your own decision.
Okay, let's take a look at the safety in the game. And there, actually, safety was a first scoring play in three different Super Bowls. Safety right now on FanDuel. Will there be a safety in the game? 9 times it's happened. 10-1 on the yes, 30-1 on the no. So you can risk $30, Joe, on FanDuel to win it. And you'll win a trusty dollar back in return if there's no safety in the game. I suppose it's like when you close your eyes and you think about this one, you figure, okay, is Brady Mahomes, two very veteran quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, going to be in the end zone, screwing up, dropping the ball, losing the ball? I don't know. This is not one of those games. But again, I don't remember when the last one was, but I feel like the last safety a few years ago was one that was completely unpredictable. So, I mean, you could take a shot on a 10-1, but I'll say no. But I wouldn't bet it 30-1.
You're talking about the high IQ quarterbacks here. So, you know, sometimes you get these safeties when a guy has an intentional grounding, you know, in the end zone. You know, there's other ways where that happens, right? And Patrick Mahomes is adept enough to, you know, avoid pass rush, even with the toe issue and things like that. He's adept enough to also make really good decisions. And Tom Brady is the king of protecting the football in those kind of scenarios. So typically you don't see that very often. It's why, you know, that last play of his New England career being a pick six when he was backed up against his own end zone was so un-Brady-like. You felt like, okay, this is the end. Something's gone wrong here. He is just checked out. Something isn't right. And of course, you see a much rejuvenated Tom Brady this season. So this is one I would stay away from because the quarterback IQ of these two guys is just so far off the chart. So I don't think there would be a safety in this game. It would have to be a very, very peculiar set of circumstances. And I think when you have other quarterbacks in this that, you know, like let's say the Jared Goffs of the world, these things become a little bit more likely because they tend to not be good in those high pressure back against the goal line kind of situations. So when Tom Brady's back up against there, he's got a plan. Same thing with Mahomes.
All right, and then finally, one other prop for today. Last play of the game to be a quarterback kneel. Yes, minus 180. No, plus 140. Joe, what do you think about this one?
Well, look, it's usually a yes, and that's why you see the minus 180. But I guess if you've got some extra money in your pocket, I mean, you just want to kind of make a little bit more, you can do this. But most NFL games end in some sort of kneel. It is very rare that we get to that, oh my goodness, the game hangs in the balance in the last play. And that would be tremendous in a Super Bowl of this magnitude. I just feel like that would be a little too Disney plus here, a little too much. So I'm going to say that there, if I'm going to lean, I'm going to lean towards the kneel. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good bet for anybody.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. All right, well, listen, as the week goes on, what we'll do is we'll continue to tackle the props. Of course, you can find them over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, so make sure you stay with us. Stay here on the grid all season long. We've been breaking it down, and then we're going to dive into all the Super Bowl props this week as well. I'm Craig Mish, along with Joe Pisapia. Coming up next, it's time for a little fantasy or reality, so make sure you stay with us as we discuss Jared Goff and what kind of playoff possibilities he may have with the Detroit Lions. In addition to that, we're also going to have the Sports Grid 60, which is coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Later on in the week, we'll bring in Dr. David Chow. We'll talk some injuries on the show, and also our friend Josh Cohen. He was snowed in today, so we'll take a look at Super Bowl sports cards. Mahomes, Tom Brady, we'll do that later in the week as well. Don't go away. Follow us on Twitter, at Sports Grid, at Craig Mish, at Joe Pisapia 17. And we'll be back in just 2 minutes, so make sure you stay on the grid right here on sportsgrid.com. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. Before we get to our normal close of fantasy and reality, just want to remind everybody, we've got one more big football show ahead of us this Sunday. It's going to be Fantasy Game Day one more time with myself, Matt Stryker, and Eric Young. It's going to be a great show. We're going to have Nate Hamilton hopefully joining us from the Game Day NFL, which is not the same thing, but kind of fun as well in there. He's also one of our Black Book writers, and we're going to talk about kind of recapping the season in fantasy and looking forward. We're also going to have some fantastic Super Bowl stuff going on. Obviously, a ton of Super Bowl information for you as we get just hours before game time. Maybe some Puppy Bowl stuff there. You never know. A lot can happen on a Sunday with us, but we're also going to look ahead at 2021. So if you were in those keeper leagues, those dynasty leagues, Game Day is going to look ahead to the 21 season because it's never too early to start preparing for your fantasy draft. Craig Mish will tell you otherwise, but no, the preparation starts now. We did a little look ahead to the draft. If you missed it, you can go check it out on demand right here on Sports Grid. But we're going to have one more football show for you. And then following that after, that is closed out with the Super Bowl Diamond Bets with Matt Stryker, and I will be back as well. Very exciting. Matt Stryker and I did a lot of baseball shows last year, Craig, without a whole lot of baseball happening. And I am very grateful, and I understand we might get pushed back, maybe. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But I'm very grateful that we're going to be back and try it all again because Matt and I are huge baseball nerds, and I think it's going to be a great show where we're going to look back at the week of baseball, look ahead to the week coming up. And if you're a big baseball fan, a two-hour baseball show for you that's going to be able to talk some gambling, some other things, and that is going to be, I think, an awesome thing for a lot of baseball people out there.
Yep, no doubt. Baseball season's coming fast, hopefully. If not, coming slow. One way or the other, there will be a baseball season for sure. All right, time for a little fantasy or reality as we kick it off today here on the show. And Jared Goff, poor Jared Goff, he has been moved out of Los Angeles and now is headed to Detroit. He'll be paid very handsomely for whatever rest of his career he has, if it's in Detroit or somewhere else. But fantasy reality, Joe, Jared Goff will get to the postseason, the playoffs, with the Detroit Lions, a team that basically makes the playoffs once every decade. Will it happen with Jared Goff? It will happen. Fantasy or reality?
I don't think poor is not the word I would ever use to describe Jared Goff. I don't think poor. No. And you didn't see Hard Knocks, but Jared Goff on the top of his house has basically, he's like, well, we had some extra land, so I created this little putting green kind of thing or chipping area so he could chip from the top of his house down, you know, almost like he created Top Golf in his backyard. That's basically what he did, right? So he could chip down there and then they can go over and putt and play. That's Jared Goff's lifestyle. My lifestyle right now is going out to shovel snow for the next 3.5 hours, possibly. And I might get halfway down the driveway if I'm lucky. Poor? No. Jared Goff is in a bad situation to make the playoffs, though, because the Lions and the playoffs don't usually go together very well. I have severe reservations about Dan Campbell and this new regime. I don't think some of that stuff out in front of the media was good. Maybe that's good talk in the locker room, but I think the locker room talk and the public media talk is not necessarily the way you want to converse, but I digress. No, I think this is a bad spot here for Jared Goff. And look, maybe be surprised. Maybe we'll see a new, reinvigorated, tough Jared Goff. Maybe he comes to training camp with tattoos and he's all of a sudden got a mohawk or something like that kid in Cobra Kai. Remember that kid in Cobra Kai? Right? That's exactly. You're thinking a hawk. I want to see Jared Goff come in next year like Hawk from Cobra Kai. I want to see him with the red mohawk straight across here, baby. Let's go do it. Jared Goff's like, no, the mercy is for the weak. Here in Detroit, we do not train to be merciful. And I'll tell you what, if anybody can be Sensei Kreese, it's Dan Campbell. So maybe a little Cobra Kai. Maybe it gets him into playoffs. Anything's possible. I'm guessing probably not. So I'm going to say fantasy, Crick.
3 out of 5 years, Goff was in the playoffs with the Rams. And I don't think that he's got 5 years with Detroit coming. My guess is he's one and done there. And by the way, Goff may be okay with Detroit. Maybe he throws for 22 touchdowns and 10 picks and they run the ball a little bit more with Swift and whoever else they bring in. I don't think it'll be a complete disaster for him there, but I don't think that he will go to the playoffs with the Lions. The most I could see him playing there is 2 years. And it wouldn't shock me to see next week him even being gone from Detroit. I really don't know what direction they're going in. But when you give a coach 6 years, it tells you it's going to be a while. I think it's going to be a while for Detroit. All right, let's move on. The NBA All-Star game could be on this year. They're talking about actually having this thing. And fan voting opened up this past weekend. And we always have these fun debates with the Pro Bowl and the NBA All-Star game, the NHL, and, of course, Major League Baseball, where the fans vote for the players in the game. Fantasy or reality, Joe? Fan voting is good for all-star games.
You know, there's not a lot of things about sports that are good for the fans anymore. I mean, ticket prices suck, beer prices suck, hot dog prices suck, PSL suck, right? I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough to be a sports fan. You know, this is not really an encouraging time. The one thing you can give them is the all-star game. You vote for your favorite players and you can watch them on TV because you can't go to the All-Star game. You certainly can't afford to fly there probably and enjoy the entire All-Star game weekend most likely. So yes, the All-Star games mean nothing. They don't mean anything in the NBA, the NHL, and MLB. I told you, I want to change it. I want to have the winner of the All-Star game. Then the next year you play with their rules, DH or no DH. Now we're talking. Now the All-Star game means something. There's some entertainment value. But yeah, I mean, come on. All-Star games are not. Pro Bowl is the biggest nonsense of all of them. Let the fans vote for every All-Star game. Give them something. And yeah, it's a popularity contest, but who cares because the games are meaningless anyway. So I say yes, give the fans a bone. Let them feel like they're involved because pretty much you're dictating to them enormous amounts of money they have to invest in order to be a fan in the first place. So yes, give them the All-Star voting. That's literally the least you can do. Craig, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I still enjoy the All-Star game. I went when I was much younger to the NBA All-Star game when it was in Miami. It's only been in South Florida one time. And I think Kenny Walker was the dunk champion when I went to that. And I also think Jordan may have been in the three-point contest, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. But baseball All-Star game is something I have a lot of experience going to. And it is, Joe, for the fans. That is a reality. I think the fans should vote for whoever they want. And it's really, you're right. It's like the last thing that fans have is to be able to decide who they want to see on television. And so I'm going to say that is a good thing. And by the way, if there is, this is a promise that I made throughout this whole COVID thing. If there is no COVID in July, and I don't know if there is or isn't or what the story is, that's not a show I want to do. But I promised my son that if it was possible, that I would take him to the All-Star game this year because I took him in Miami, but he was very young, you know, like he didn't last long. I didn't take him the Home Run Derby. I took him the actual game. And
that
by the fifth,
the Judge
sixth inning
Home Run Derby, right. Wasn't that Aaron Judge Home Run Derby year?
Was it Judge? I thought Miguel Sano.
I don't know who won, but I remember Judge putting on a show in Miami. I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly.
That sounds right.
It feels
true. Yeah, I was in the outfield. Yeah, I was in the outfield for that, actually. But so, yeah, so that he was young. It was 3 years ago. And so he was five. He wasn't really into it. We left in the sixth inning. But this one is in Atlanta. And for me, that's about the closest other than Tampa Bay that it can get. And I don't see it coming back. It's never coming back to Miami. So I definitely think that there's a chance there. But anyway, long story short, it is good. It is, fans have to be able to have some piece in this. And that, I think, is theirs. All right, let's end with this. It came out earlier this morning. Good news for Xbox owners, by the way, because MLB The Show is going to be both on PlayStation and on Xbox. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is on the front with the bat flip. Fantasy or reality, Joe? Fernando Tatis Jr. is the current face of baseball.
This is a complicated question. It really is, because I think that's where Major League Baseball should be putting its eggs, right? And it's not taking away anything from some of the other great players in the league, but I think when you're looking at Major League Baseball, there's a little bit of a fun factor that's missing. And Fernando Tatis brings that to you. The style of play, he's a fun guy. Right. The fashion, the hair, the whole thing. He seems like a guy. Look, his daddy played the big leagues. He was a real good player, too. This guy gets it, but I think he's also very entertaining. And I think that Padres team is going to be very entertaining for a myriad of different reasons. They got a lot of personalities on that team right now. But it feels to me like, if you still ask me who's the face of Major League Baseball, I'm going to say Mike Trout. And I think the other difficulty for Major League Baseball, and I get that there's an East Coast bias. Believe me, I understand it's a real thing. When it comes to baseball, though, you know, when you have, let's say, the David Ortizes of the world and Manny Ramirez and those guys in Boston, right, those years, when you have the Yankees having the star powers of Derek Jeter and all those guys on those great Yankee teams, and then A-Rod was there for years, it feels like we're kind of missing out on that Northeast superstar. Maybe Bryce Harper can be that. You know, Aaron Judge has toiled with it at moments, but they've been brief because he keeps getting injured, unfortunately. So typically speaking, your baseball heroes are usually those East Coast guys. And now there's another one on the West Coast. And that's what makes it difficult, because it's kind of hard for the people on the East Coast to see the West Coast games. And I know the same is true, but I mean, I struggle with this because the identity of these West Coast superstars carrying the game going forward, I don't know what the impact is, because baseball to me has always been and will be a very hot sport in the Northeast of this country. It's hot in, it's hot in Chicago. It's hot in St. Louis. There are baseball towns that are even better than New York and Boston in many, many ways. But overall speaking, if you're not getting some of that Northeast bias in there with some of these superstar players, I think it's bad for the overall product of baseball. And I get it that that is an opinion of mine. And I also understand people say, you're an idiot from New York. What do you know? Why does it always have to be about New York guys? Well, because, you know, when you look back at the history of baseball, it has been. So I think there's something to that, that I think it's good and marketable for Madison Avenue and everything else. That being said, if Fernandez is that guy, I'm good with it. So I would like to say yes, he could be, but I'm going to say fantasy. I still think it's Mike Trout, Craig. At the end of the day, I think it's Trout. And I feel bad as a huge baseball fan myself that I haven't gotten to see Mike Trout play nine innings very often. It is rare that I get to see that. And that kind of sucks for me. Being an East Coast person, you just don't get to see it. And I know the reverse is true, and I'm being a big baby about it. But Craig, is Fernando Tatis, in your mind, the face of Major League Baseball right now?
I think he is. I think he is the current face of Major League Baseball. I think all the points that you made are very valid, because the West Coast people can watch the East Coast games, but the East Coast people in general can't do the reverse. I do think it is close, and I think that there are others coming very fast. I think that provided that Washington is relevant, I think Juan Soto is definitely in this conversation.
Yes.
I think Ronald Acuna Jr., although he's not very well liked amongst the league, is also in this conversation as well. And look, Trout is definitely still there, and all it will require is one great postseason for us to just remember or just understand how good that he is. So, but I think amongst the players right now, I think amongst the players right now, though, Tatis is the guy. I definitely think so. And if sports cards are any indication, it definitely is, because he is the one more than anyone else that he and Soto are the ones that have really jumped up before the season has started, for sure. Maybe somebody on the White Sox will be that guy this year. Maybe it's Luis Robert. Maybe it's Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson. I think that there's a chance that Toronto could have a guy. Could be Vladimir Jr. Could be Bo Bichette. A lot of nice young players coming into the league this year. Yeah. Hopefully there is a season to play soon, because it's kind of like a mixed bag for me. And I was talking to our executive producer, Greg Sussman, about this. And the one thing that I said to him today, and I was so angry, I was like, you know what? If they're not going to start on time, I'm taking another week off. Like, it's like, I don't want to be here. You know, it's like, I mean, I was ready for baseball and now there's no baseball again. But the good news here is that we got Daytona 500 coming. We have the Masters also on deck, and we're going to cover it all for you here on Sports Grid for sure. All right, coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 6. And then, of course, we will be back tomorrow here on the show at noon Eastern. So make sure you stay on the grid. Joe and I will be right back and deliver our final thoughts here on the show. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe mentioned coming up on Sunday, we have a lot of programming for you here on Sports Grid, getting you ready for the Super Bowl. Joe mentioned he'll have a show on Sunday. I'll be in the house also as well, along with Joe Ranieri, for our final look at props and parlays. That's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Still got 6 days to go, though, until we get there. So let's turn it over to Joe. He's got today's Sports Grid 60. Joe?
Well, I am very happy for Matthew Stafford. He is finally getting a chance to play with a real contender with an outstanding defense, one of the bright young football minds at head coach, a fair amount of weapons, and let me tell you, a much, much better climate. Sorry, Detroit, but you and I know I'm the king of keeping it real. Detroit's not Los Angeles in terms of weather. So Matthew Stafford has a window now, which he clearly deserves. And Matthew Stafford has been, like I said before, a good soldier. He's gone out there. He's never complained. He has been the guy. He's been the leader. And he has been that in terrible circumstances. You take that leadership quality and you drop it in better circumstances. I feel good about the Rams again. That's right, baby. We've come full circle now. Now I can feel good about the Rams. 2020 is a fresh start. It's a new year. And Matthew Stafford, you have paved the way with yellow gold horns for me to go in there and say, yes, let's get those Rams horns going. Let's do this. The Rams in 2021 will be a playoff team. Of course they will. But really, this is about Matthew Stafford finally getting his shot to be relevant. And that is something he deserves.
Well, Dustin Pedroia has been relevant for almost two decades in Major League Baseball. And if you ask 10 fans who weren't fans of the Red Sox or the Yankees, I would guess that 9 liked Dustin Pedroia. He kind of stood for everything that is right about Little League Baseball, which is every single kid on those teams has big dreams, and very few of them get to live out those dreams. Looked at Dustin Pedroia, you thought, well, if he could play in the big leagues, maybe I can too. So just goes to show you that sometimes there are good stories in sports. Pedroia, definitely one of them. Congratulations on his retirement today. That'll do it for our show. And of course, thank you to LTN for the great job that they do each and every day. Our producers here, Brett, Danny, and Ryan, for getting us on the air and helping us out throughout. My co-host, Joe Pizzapia. I'm Craig Mish. Hope you have a great Monday. See you tomorrow.